Now this week we're going to talk about the first of the month, give. The first of the month, tithe. Next week we'll say first of the week, worship. The following, first of the day, read your Bible and pray. But I want to talk about the priority of giving in our lives. The priority of tithing in our lives. I think God is inviting us into two different types of giving. And both can be inspirational and both can be very challenging for someone who's not doing either. One, he's inviting us into a steady giving. And two, I believe God would be inviting us into ready giving. Steady giving where we say, I need to commit myself in a specific way to God financially or serving or whatever it is, and it's going to be regular, it's going to be consistent, it's going to be for a long period of time, and this is how I'm going to do it. And then ready giving sort of comes after that where we say, now that I'm steadily doing this thing, how have I readied my heart to do whatever God asks of me now? To do anything greater or more or bigger? And so I want to kind of cover both of those today as we look at this kind of concept. Since the very beginning in the Bible, we see tithing or giving to God. All the way from Cain and Abel, who are sort of the second generation in the Bible at all, they, out of their first fruits, out of the very first portion of their stuff, they start to give to God, or at least Abel does, where they start to offer of their animals and offer of their fruits and veggies and the things that they're growing and the produce. And they're saying right off the bat, God, you get the first part of my provision. You get the very first thing that I have. The very first thing that I have, it goes to you, and then I'll take the leftover rather than God getting the leftover from whatever is produced from me. Then afterwards, we see Abraham. Abraham is in this battle, and in this battle, they gain all of this treasure, and out of this treasure, Abraham gives 10% of that treasure. He takes it, says 10% of this treasure goes towards this priest, towards this God, this sort of mysterious character named Melchizedek in the Bible. He goes, 10%, there you go, because God has given us all of this, I can give 10% back. From the very beginning, giving to God was not about some legalistic model. It was about recognizing that God is good. God has given. God has offered. God has provided. God has given provision. God has saved. God is victorious. And so since he is, and he's given all of this to us, we want to walk in relationship and offer some back, is how Abraham saw it. This was thanksgiving from Abraham. He said, thank you, God, for all of this stuff. Now I want to just offer some back to you so that I am reminded in my own heart that you have given this to me. I haven't given it to myself. You have given this to me. And then Jacob, Abraham's grandson, in Genesis 28, Jacob is sort of the sneaky guy who steals the blessings and the blessings of the firstborn from his brother and his birthright from him. And his brother doesn't like him so much, so Jacob has to flee. He runs away. He stops at this one spot, and he has nothing. Standing there with nothing. He goes to sleep at night. He puts his head on a rock. A rock is his pillow. Anyone ever slept on a rock pillow? Not me, anyways. But he's got a rock for a pillow. He lays his head down. He's literally got nothing to comfort himself, nothing to take care of himself, nothing to provide for himself. And in that moment, there's this incredible scene. You should read through it in Genesis 28, where God speaks to him about the provision that God will give to him. God starts to tell him what he's going to do for Jacob. God starts to remind him of the promise that he's given to him before. He starts to speak it over him. And so Jacob, in verse 20 to 22, says, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. So Jacob's, the tenth that Jacob gives to God is recognizing that all that I have is from you, God. I can't do this without you. I can't step forward in life without you. I can't move into the next place without you. All that I have is from you. While Jacob comes back, when he comes back from his uncle Laban's house to see his brother Esau, he's got loads of livestock. He's rich. He's got tons of stuff, incredible blessings. And he walks back and recognizing God gave all this to me. And so all the way along, he gave 10% back. This is where the recognition of tithing started coming. This is where it started happening and forming in the Israelites' minds. This is what we do. If we know that God has given us good gifts, then we return some of those to him. And when we return those to him, we remember that God has given us good gifts. And so they just made it a steady part of their life. So much so that when Moses came along, he was the one who led the Israelites out of slavery across the Red Sea and towards the Promised Land. And he led the Israelites for years. And God gave Moses the law. At that point, God actually put it in the law for Moses and for the people to tithe 10%. For every 10 cattle you have, one goes to me. For every 10, everything. They just started tithing on everything, that God gets 10% of whatever we have. And this became the steady practice for them to remind themselves of what God had done, that God had given them everything. And out of that everything, as they returned a tenth to him, they would be reminded of his goodness, of his power, of his might, of his provision for them. And this is how it worked throughout Scripture for a long time. This is sort of the first step, I think, that God might be calling some of us into. Just so you know, if you're here and you don't tithe or you don't give 10% or whatever, God loves you very much. He believes in you. But he's drawing you into this relationship saying, would you trust me enough to start to recognize what I've given to you and start to give some of it back? Would you start to set up a steady plan where the first fruits of your labor, the first income of what you get, the first portion of yourself would actually come back to me? And some of you say, well, 10% is crazy. And maybe it is for you. Maybe that seems like that. I just can't do that. I can't think about 10%. But maybe you'd say, I'd like to grow to that. I can recognize in Scripture, I'd like to grow to that. And so the first step into steady giving for you is maybe saying, I can do 2%. You know, this is 2017. I'm going to believe for 5%. And you can start to give in such a way that you might actually recognize that as you steadily give to God, your heart towards God grows. Your trust in God develops. You start to see his hand at work. You start to see the areas that he provides for you in greater ways as you accept his invitation into steadily giving to him, into steady giving to God. Kendall and I walked through this process a few years back. I didn't grow up really knowing about tithing. I didn't know much about the concept. I had heard a little bit about it. I went to church with my mom when I was a kid, and she'd give me, like, I was going to say a toonie, but there's no such thing. She'd give me some sort of coins, and I'd put them in there. I'm like, oh, great, Mom, give me money. I love money. And I put it in there, and awesome. I didn't really know much about that. I started getting jobs. I started doing all that thing, not really realizing that this whole idea of tithing, that it was such a big part of the Bible. And so all the way, this was a huge stretch for me, all the way, I didn't even quite understand the full concept of it, even as I was stepping into leadership roles in my last position in the church. And so we were stepping in and going for it and doing what we were doing and serving the best we could and not really recognizing some of the importance of tithing in our own lives. And so we started, there came a point in my ministry where I came to Kendall. I said, I'm just done in ministry. I feel wiped out. I feel like I can't focus or give myself to this anymore. I feel like my relationship with God is suffering. And at that point, we were renting a house, and we had all sorts of people around us buying houses, and we were sort of thinking, God, if we're serving you, if we're coming and taking on this job, why aren't you providing for us? Why aren't you helping us do what all of our friends are doing? And blah, 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 blah. All the whining that goes on. And I said, Kendall, I'm just done with this. I want to go get rich. I don't know what, like male bald model. Oh. We got a few of them in the house. Come on. Amen. And I didn't know what I was going to do, but that's what I was thinking. And Kendall says, let's sit down and pray about this. We pray about it. Take some time. And I didn't feel like God said to me, Evan, you need to start reading your Bible this much. I already was doing that. You need to start praying this much. I was. You need to start leading this way. You need to start doing this thing or this. He didn't say, I need to fast for, you know, five years or whatever. He didn't say, I need to give up something. He said, Evan, I want you to be patient. I want you to wait on me, and I want you to start tithing 11%. I'm like, 11%? That's a lot. But okay. Kendall and I started doing that. God invited us into steady giving. He invited us into what became steady for us. And so we watched as lots of other people seemed to have money when we didn't necessarily, but we also watched our contentment grow. We started being okay with the life we were in. We started seeming like we needed less. We started feeling like our budget was easier to keep, like our groceries didn't cost as much, like we'd find good things around. It started seeming a little bit easier. And then eventually, it was out of that, I think it was out of that obedience that God was preparing our hearts to come here. Because when we're obedient in our giving, then we can be obedient in anything. That's the hardest thing to be obedient in, I know it. It's so hard to be obedient, say, God, I will actually give you money. I will actually give you a certain percentage of money. I will take it off the top, not the leftovers. I will start there. That is a hard thing. If you will do it, you can watch how God will start to shape your heart. You can do anything in Him if you would walk in that way. And so we came here, we moved to this place, still didn't own a house or anything, but there was this time just last year where we were still tithing. In fact, we were trying to grow in our tithing and our giving. And we all of a sudden had a couple mix-ups with the government and taxes. I don't know if you've ever felt that, but anyways, we had a big chunk of money pulled back monthly from us that we weren't getting now for a while. And we were like, well, how are we even going to get by? God, can we stop tithing? How about that? And He's like, no, you can't. We're like, okay, we'll keep going. And so we kept going on because He was inviting us into steady giving. So we started steadily giving to God. We kept going even when life circumstances changed. And I have no idea how it happened to this day, but our budget kept working. It was crazy. Where I'd be looking like, okay, what is it going to hit us this month? Because we lost a lot with all this, and we don't have nearly the income, and we were always good. So I actually stopped looking at our bank account. Like, it can't add up. It can't make sense. And so I'm just going to not look for a while. I'm just going to believe you, God. I'm just going to trust you. And He carried us through that time in an incredible way. It's awesome when you can start to trust God enough that you would steadily give to Him. He's inviting you into that relationship. But what happens sometimes when we steadily give to God is that we become arrogant about it. Or we become proud, or it becomes a religious checkbox that we say, we're good. Now I've tithed. Now I've taken care of things. No problem. See you later. I can be a jerk at work. I can do everything else bad because now I've given my 10%, so God owes me, you know? We can start to get this idea, this concept in our minds. And Jesus deals with this when He shows up onto the planet because the Pharisees have taken the law that Moses wrote that was supposed to draw us closer to God, and they've pulled away from God because of their religious treatment of this. And Jesus says to them in Matthew 23:23, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites, you give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. So He says, there's something important that I want you to learn. Justice, mercy, faithfulness. I want you to start to believe in a bigger way. I want you to start taking care of those who can't take care of themselves. I want you to start fighting for the injustices of the world. I want you to take on these things. But instead, you're over here checking the boxes of how religious you are. You shouldn't give that up. I want you to continue in your steady giving, but your steady giving shouldn't remove relationship from us. I still want you to be in it with me. In fact, now I want to invite you into ready giving. I want to take a next step with you. That's not a religious checkbox. It's not going to make you feel good and you're all done. Now I want to invite you into something that looks a whole lot different and is just obedience. It's not obedience to one law that you do for the rest of your life or one concept that you just follow through, which creates some steadiness in your life. I want to invite you into the ready type of giving that may actually rock the steadiness of your life. It may shift some things in your life. It's going to take a bigger step of faith. But this all the way along was about our relationship with God. Would we trust Him? Would we recognize Him as the giver of all good gifts? Would we recognize Him as our provider, as the source of our contentment, as the one who would offer up all good things, as the one who can give us fulfillment even if we have less than we thought we should have, or as the one who can give us even financial gifts if we don't have a job that can give those to us anyways? Is He still the provider? Is He still the one? And so Jesus starts to talk about something completely different. Maybe not completely different, but like a next level. When you're giving steadily, that's great, but you're not done. Jesus didn't call us to build a church that's nice and steady. He called us to build a church that's going to advance against the gates of hell. He's building it. He's got plans. He didn't say, let's get it all steady and sort it out and now we're done. He did say, get it steady. And I felt when I came here, I needed to make things steady and solid. And a huge part of that is tithing. A huge part of that is being part of teams and serving and all of those things. But as we're doing that, God is going to say, okay, now are you ready to do greater? Now are you ready to do more? Can you dream bigger with me now? Can you expect bigger things are going to happen? Can you trust me for a little bit more or a lot more? Can you trust me for that big thing that I'm going to call you into? When Jesus showed up, we see in the New Testament that it wasn't about 10% anymore. There's a guy named Zacchaeus at one point. He's a tax collector. He's stolen a lot of money from a lot of people. He's ripped a lot of people off in a lot of ways. And Jesus walks up to him, spends a dinner with him, and Zacchaeus stands up at dinner and says, that's it. I believe in what this guy is. I believe in who he is, so I'm going to give 10%. No, he says, I'm going to give half of what I have. 50%, boom, it's yours, go ahead, run with it, I don't need it anymore. Jesus calls the rich young ruler. Maybe you remember the story. This guy comes up and he's got everything, and he comes up to Jesus and says, Jesus, how do you gain eternal life? And Jesus says, well, what do you understand in the Bible? He says, well, do this, do this, do this, do this, and Jesus says, okay, if you're doing all that, you're good. You're tithing, you're good. You're doing this, you're good, you're fine. But the guy actually says to Jesus, what do I still lack? Because there's something in me. And Jesus doesn't say, you know what, just read a few more verses in the Bible. Memorize a few more things. Make sure you get to church and tell your pastor he did a good job and his head didn't glisten too much. He says, sell everything. Give it to the poor. He doesn't say sell everything and give it to me. Or to the church, just so you know, the church doesn't need your money. Jesus is going to take care of this place. He doesn't say, sell everything and you know, put a trust fund for your kids. He says, sell everything. Give it to the poor. He doesn't tell them who, which poor, whatever. Go and just give it to the poor. It doesn't matter who you give it to. I have money to take care of that person, that person, that person. I mean, Jesus isn't needing of our money. He says, go give it to the poor and follow me. And the guy walks away with his head hung down because he can't do it. Jesus doesn't say, as long as you're tithing, you're good. 10%, you made it. He says, for you, young man, it's got to be 100. Since you're asking, since you're hungry, since you want it, give it all and follow me. Worship team, you can come on up. The early church was a very similar way. Jesus came. He did all that he did. Then he died. He rose. He spoke to the early church. Said, I want you to go and make disciples of all nations. I want you to go and reach the world. I want you to go and change everything. I want you to go and impact everyone. I want you to make a huge impact wherever you are. This is going to be awesome. Go and do it. And it says instantly what they started doing is they were praying a lot, they were gathering a lot, but it says the rich just started selling things and giving them away. They started taking care of the poor. They started looking after each other and caring for one another. They started just evening things out, say, okay, well, if we got to do, if we're more about the mission of Jesus, we're more about changing this world, then we better stop thinking only about how we're changing our own life and how we're protecting our own life and how we're worrying about our own security and our own retirement and our own everything. If we're all about the mission of Jesus, which he says we are, then we better get on board and figure out what we need to give up. And they just go sold out. It's inspirational and challenging for me. I assume it's the same for you. Because wait a sec, I have this need and this need and this need. And I already gave my 10%. Aren't I good? I really believe Jesus might say to us, tithing steadies the ship. Generosity shakes the seas. Generosity brings out something so much greater and crazier. It's new obedience. Steadiness is learning how to walk step by step, and eventually you're just walking in that direction. It's no problem. Obedience is saying, God, you're calling me in a direction that I wasn't comfortable going. It's going to stretch me. He says, I want to invite you into steady giving, and I want to invite you into ready giving, ready to do anything. Ready to jump at any opportunity. Ready to listen to my voice whenever I speak. Would you consider it? See, steady giving is a challenge for a lot of us. We haven't heard about that. Maybe you have some bad feelings about churches asking for money or something like that. It doesn't feel good to you. It's going to be a challenge. You need to work through that. And God's going to walk with you as you learn how to do steady giving. But ready giving is a challenge to all of us, because you don't just get to do it once. You don't just get to set up your pre-authorized giving on PushPay and then you're good to go. Because Jesus is going to change the calling. He's going to change the plan. He's going to offer you greater. He's going to say, now, yeah, you had a great year. Awesome. Now give it all. Yeah, well, there's this need in this family. Yeah, give it all. Well, what if I don't get anything back, Jesus? That's why sometimes pastors will come up here and say, hey, if you give, you're going to get everything back, and he's going to do all of these things. And there are verses in the Bible that remind us that that God can give us all things, that he is no debtor to anyone, that whatever we give to him, he'll give us tenfold back. There is lots about that. But what he has given us is enough already. He gave us the cross and eternal life. So would you follow him wherever he leads? In the second and third century, there were these plagues that started wiping out the Roman Empire. And there's this historian that wasn't a Christian until he wrote a few history books on Christianity and then became a Christian. And he wrote about Christianity, and why did it grow so much in those early centuries, first, second, third century, as they were being persecuted, as there were plagues, as there was all of these challenging things. And one of the things he noted, when there were, in the second and third century, these two big plagues that wiped out between a third and a half of the Roman Empire, crazy things were going on. What was going on is that families, like if a brother all of a sudden got this sickness, the whole family would up and leave him and take off out of town. And other people would be doing the same thing. Like, we got to get out of here. No, we can't get that sick. He's dead. We better go. They just let them die on their own. Well, the Christians decided, you know what? Why don't we stick it out? Who knows? Who knows what God might want to do with these people? We may all get sick and die, but hey, then we'll just be in heaven anyway. So let's just stick around and see what we can do and serve them. And these people couldn't give them anything in return. They couldn't do anything. All they could do is get them sick. And so like, okay, well, let's stick around. Well, what happened is people started getting well. As they were cared for, they started getting well. As they were prayed for, they started getting well. And all the doctors, all the parents, all the everyone, friends, everything left these people. And then the Christians are just standing there like, cool, you're doing way better. Awesome. Like, yeah. So who's your God? Christianity blew up at that time. Because they decided they were all in. Not just in money, not just in finances, though yes. Not just by doing their disciplines and reading the Bible and fasting and praying, though yes. But with their own health, yes. Even when no one could pay them back, yes. They were all in. They became steady givers, then they became ready givers. And I want to encourage you, Jesus wants to invite you into both of those relationships. One of them is going to be more of a challenge to you right now. If you're not a steady giver, that's going to feel like a real challenge. But you seek God. You ask Him, what would you like me to do, God? How could I contribute? Stretch me. Allow Him to stretch you in that. Maybe today you say, I need to start contributing regularly through PushPay, you know? Maybe you say, I need to start doing something regular and get steady, and maybe it's going to be 1% this year and 5% next, and whatever you say, that's between you and God. But maybe you're given your 10 and you said, I guess I've checked off my list, I'm good. Well, God's maybe saying to you today, I actually have bigger plans for you. You may feel like you're all done, but I want you to be ready for something big, for something special. I want you to fund the great work that I want to do in the Comox Valley. He may be calling you to that. In fact, I think He is calling all of us to that. So allow God to search your heart for that as well. I just want to pray for you quick, because all of us have some work that we need to do with Jesus, I'm sure. And I'm just going to pray for you quick, and then these guys are going to let us leave on a high note, because this is good news. We're in a good place. God has done great things. You have been faithful. Now, as Paul would have said, you have been faithful. Now all the more. Now all the more let's believe for it. Now all the more let's expect it in the Comox Valley. Now all the more let's believe God has great and mighty plans here, and He won't do them until we are on board and we're stepping in to where He's asked us to step in. Let's pray. God, thank You that You have asked us to be part of Your plans. Thank You, God, that You have given us provisions so that we can recognize that You are good and You are able to carry us, God. Thank you, God, that we are able to walk into what You have for us. Thank You, God, for the law that taught us how to be steady. Thank You for Jesus who taught us how to be ready. I pray that we would not step back when something shows up. God, that we'd not be intimidated by generosity, but we'd be inspired by it in Jesus' name. That we'd give boldly, that we'd give in an excited way, and that we'd see this Comox Valley change. In Your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, why don't we all stand? Because He is good. Maybe you're going to dance or sing or shout because He is good as we leave. But have a great week. Come on back next week. We're going to talk about worship. And maybe come on Thursday for prayer and worship here at 7 o'clock.